And it's verses 12 through 17. So Matthew 4, 12 through 17. So when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. It's so good to see you. I reckon a good rule for life is never trust a dancing zebra, but we're going to do that this morning. I wonder this morning when you woke up, what were you most excited for? What was the part of Christmas that you were just so ready to experience? What did you wake up excited for? Let's yell a couple out. What were you excited for this Christmas? Presents, yes. What else? Coffee, someone said. Like every morning. Jesus. Wow, you've been trained well, my friends. Anything else that people are excited for? Food. Yes. Pavlova. Oh, isn't Christmas such an exciting time of the year? Did someone just say dinner, by the way? There is so much more than just dinner, but I'm glad you're excited for that. Christmas is an exciting time of the year. I was doing some shopping the other day when I came across Myer's slogan for this Christmas season, and I wonder if you saw it. It said, "The season is the reason." I like what you've done there, Myer. They've changed that well-known phrase, "the reason for the season," which actually points people to Jesus, and they've reversed it, and they've simply said that the Christmas season, well, that's the reason. I don't know how much someone got paid for that, but it's pretty good. And I guess for them, the season is about buying lots of products. It's having parties. It's spending time with family. But it got me thinking, what do we look forward to at Christmas? What is it that we actually anticipate in the lead up to Christmas? What is our reason? Is it the season that we love or the reason that we're excited for? And there's a lot to anticipate when it comes to Christmas. It's an exciting time of the year. Sometimes, though, the anticipation for Christmas is simply about being ready for Christmas. There's so much on. We're happy if we can simply keep up, knowing we'll be wrecked. But tomorrow we can either lie on the beach or watch the cricket, and then I will rest. To help us understand this idea more, I thought I'd do something which I've never done before, and it's write a little poem. Think of it as a gift from me to you on this Christmas. If you don't like it, don't tell me, because it's Christmas. All right. It's a play on a poem that you've probably heard before. It goes like this. It was the week before Christmas, and all of our lives was full of busyness. It's hard to thrive. The lights were hung on the tree with care. Everyone's coming and will soon be there. The presents were placed under the tree. I hope the kids are happy. The advent calendar is down to its last. This Christmas has gone so fast. The school term is finished, so is the cricket. What a horrible gabba wicket. What salad am I going to make? Or was I on something to bake? We drive to the beach for a quick dip, hopefully have time for a fish and a chip. There's a Christmas party for any reason. I mean, 'tis the season. What is the reason for this season? Lights, carols, parties and presents, family, camping, holidays, it's endless. There's lots to anticipate and be excited for. I just hope it doesn't leave me lying flat on the floor. And I wonder if you feel that sense this Christmas. In the midst of the joy, the presents, the fun, the family time, this morning I want to look at Christmas as an incredible season to anticipate, something to really look forward to, but an anticipation which actually moves us to participation, not just today, not simply tomorrow, but actually every day of our lives where we are anticipating and participating in the kingdom of heaven. a kingdom of life and light, not burden and worry, and a kingdom where we experience deep joy, deep peace, and real, true love. We read out a passage from Matthew, and it's speaking about a passage from Isaiah, which is Isaiah actually speaking to God's people. And Israel, God's people, they also had an anticipation for the very first Christmas. The passage we read out is referring to the start of Jesus' ministry. So he's around 30 years old at this point. And the Matthew passage refers to a passage from Isaiah 9. Isaiah was written sort of 700 years before Jesus was born. And even 700 years before the first Christmas, when Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, we see an anticipation and hope for Jesus to come. Let's read from Matthew 4:12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." In verse 15 there, you'll see lots of places that we haven't heard before or know where they are. But these names, they place us in a certain time, with a certain people, and in a certain place. Why these people and these places? Well, Isaiah 9 actually comes after the Assyrian army has devastated the northern kingdom of Israel in Isaiah 8. The land is laid to waste. Like a raging flood water, the people and their livelihoods will actually be wiped out, completely washed away. And these places which Matthew names are the northern extremities of Israel. They are a land of gloom, a land of humiliation, darkness, and death. And being on the border actually means they are the first places that Assyria will come in and invade. The first place where God's promised land, God's plans and purposes are destroyed and wiped out. And so the reality is bleak. Darkness surrounds. Death, very real. God seems distant. There is no hope. But it says the people living in the land of the shadow of death, well, they have seen a great light. Like the first glow of sunrise, like the flicker of a flame in a dark room, the first glow appears, a light actually begins to shine. For God's people, devastated by the threat of an invading army under the hammer of judgment, the great light is powerful. The great light actually brings hope. This light lights up the whole world. It changes their lives. It changes the outcomes. It changes who they're going to be. Because this light, this incredible light, is actually God's presence. God's presence with them, coming in protection. God coming as a loving, saving, gracious God. And so this passage sits in the context of looking back at Isaiah 8, where devastation, humiliation reigns, but then also looking forward to the promise of restoration under a new messianic king. Isaiah 9 goes on to say in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." For a people living in darkness, for a people with no hope, this is huge. It would fill them with anticipation and hope and joy. Their God sees them. Their God knows their pain. And their God, he wants to come and rescue them. He wants to be their protector. And so Isaiah points to a Savior, a Messiah, coming as a baby, having the government on his shoulders, reigning with justice and righteousness, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So I hope you can see the great light for Israel that Isaiah actually speaks of. But I want to now make this relevant for us this Christmas. Matthew 1 actually tells of this promised baby. Have a read with me. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." God with us. A baby born in a manger to a virgin mum. The hope of the world, the great light, is a person. The one who will bring peace is a baby. God coming to save his people from darkness is born in a manger. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Emmanuel is Jesus. God is with us in Jesus. Now in Matthew 4, he quotes the passage from Isaiah, the great light in the darkness, hope coming into the world. And I think he quotes this passage at the start of Jesus' ministry life because I think he wants us to know that Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry, and indeed Jesus' death and resurrection is the great light. Jesus is the great hope. Jesus actually shines above all. Jesus shines in the darkest of places. Jesus is the great hope of the world, and Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, Jesus is the light of your life, and he's the light of my life. Through Jesus, our relationship with God is restored. Through Jesus, we experience the coming kingdom of heaven in this life. Through Jesus, we have reconciliation, forgiveness, justice, love, and peace. Through Jesus, heaven on earth is here. The greatest light the world will ever know has appeared on the horizon and will continue to rise. And that, my friends, is something to anticipate. In Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus begins his ministry by proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The kingdom of heaven is a place where God's rule and reign is supreme, where he has all authority, and it's a place where everything is as it was meant to be. Relationships are restored. So our relationship with God is restored. Actually, our relationships with one another is restored, and humanity's relationship with all of creation is restored. It looks back to how creation was in the Garden of Eden, and it looks forward to how it will be in the new heaven and the new earth. It glimpses of what's to come when Jesus returns on that final day. And so Christmas is this anticipation for baby Jesus. Christmas is the anticipation for the great light entering the world. Christmas is a time of anticipating the kingdom of heaven, which has actually broken into this world. And Christmas is a time of anticipating when Jesus will come again. But we must not lose sight of Jesus' first word here. His first word in his ministry in Matthew's gospel, and it's this invitational word. It's an invitation to actually participate. He says, "Repent. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is near." We've missed the point if all we do at Christmas is anticipate. Because Jesus wants us to anticipate and participate. And so repent actually means to actively change direction. It means to stop, to turn around, to actually walk in the other direction. And here's the thing, so often we walk in darkness. We do life without God. We go our own way, we get caught up in ourselves, we consume, we create, we compete, all to further ourselves. We forget that there is a great light. We forget that there is the great light. 1 John 1:5 puts it this way, "God is light. In him there's no darkness at all." And so repenting or participating means that each and every day we choose to walk in the light of Christ. Repenting, participating, means we choose to live our lives in relationship with the God who sent his Son into the world to bring hope, faith, love, and peace. And walking in the light means that we actually come to Jesus for forgiveness, the only one who can save. And walking in the light means that we live life with Jesus, walking in step with him. And walking in the light means that we're empowered by the Spirit to actually go and share that light with others that we do life with. The great light is Jesus, the one we anticipate and the one who invites us to anticipate. And the great light is relational. That is, Jesus doesn't leave us on our own. He is actually with us every step of the way. I love those four descriptions that God actually gives Isaiah. He says that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. That is, Jesus comes beside us and guides and leads and speaks into our lives, pulling us to be the people he made us to be. His wisdom is beyond comprehension. His counsel does more than guide. It alone has the power to truly transform. Jesus is the mighty God. Despite being a baby in a manger, Jesus was there at the beginning of creation. He willingly chose to go to the cross, and his forgiveness extends for all eternity. In him we have strength. He is the mighty God. Jesus is the everlasting Father. His love is everlasting. He protects, he cares, he corrects, and he comforts, sacrificing everything for the redemption of his children, the ones that he loves. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Born into the chaos of a fallen world, through his sacrifice and resurrection, he secured our victory. We are no longer slaves to the chaos of the world. Through Jesus' presence with us, through his presence with us, we have peace. Emmanuel, God is with us. Today, tomorrow, in fact, every day of your life, there is a great light. Jesus has come and Jesus will come again. And the invitation is to anticipate the kingdom of heaven by participating now, living our lives with Jesus, walking in his great light, and allowing him to be our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for your Son entering the world. God, that you are with us. God, may we be a people who anticipate you, who anticipate your second coming and your kingdom coming in our lives and in the world. But God, I pray we don't miss the call to participate, where we actually walk in step with you, where we trust you with our lives. God, you came into this world so that we might know you. You came into this world so that we might be saved. You came into this world so we might experience heaven now. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas, we might not be overwhelmed, we might not be burdened, we might just feel the busyness. But God, we might be filled with your love, your grace, your peace, and your joy. And Lord, I pray that we as a community might continue to experience that, continue to anticipate that, and continue to participate with what you are doing in this world throughout the entire year. Amen.
Thanks, Will. We're just going to finish up with one last song, Joy to the World. We're going to finish in a spirit of joy, celebrating the light of the world, the Saviour that has come and is born today. So would you stand and let's sing joyfully together?